Blog Talk Radio.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got that string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I've got a song that I sing, I can make the rain.
Welcome, America, to Breaking News Journal On Air, the only radio program in the country that has special, special guests on. And you know I say this all the time, but there's no exception. If you want to go into the chat room is up. And I know our guest that we're having on today, Sharon Arando of the Post and Email, she's going to have a lot to say about what's going on in our world. And I just wanted to let you all know that on breakingnewsjournal.net, the breaking news is that they are moving Margaret Thatcher's her casket, and I believe that was at to the Abbey, and it was reported by the Associated Press. You also can go on Breaking News Journal and see the other news clips from Reuters or the BBC or wherever we may have it come through on the RSS feed. Today we're going to have Sharon talk to us. We had to have Sharon back because most of her listeners or viewers are members on the Post and Email. They just went crazy on the chat room last week, and they had all kind of questions for her, so we had to have her back so that she could answer those questions for her viewers. Sharon, are you there?
I am. Thank you very much for having me, Ruth.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I know that you have been. I just got off. Besides being on BreakingNewsJournal.net, I was checking out the Post and Email and the information about the bombing that happened in Boston yesterday. And I don't know if you found out, if you knew about this update that it actually was, they said it was like a pressure cooker. Whoever did the bombing put a pressure cooker on with a lot of fragments in it so that it would explode and do the damage that it did. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
No, I didn't get that most recent thing, actually. That must have come out just in the last couple of hours, perhaps, because I had put out a couple of articles earlier today. And I do want to say before anything else, I am, on behalf of the Post and Email, I'm extending our greatest and most heartfelt condolences to anyone affected by this horrible atrocity. And I greatly, greatly feel for everyone who's been impacted by this. There are some very, very, very serious injuries and deaths. Beautiful little boy, 8 years old from Dorchester, was killed, and his family was badly maimed, and many, many, many others. So the Post and Email does grieve with Boston, and in the days and weeks ahead, we're going to be looking to see what we can do to help the victims of that. But no, I had not heard about this most recent information regarding how the perpetrators put this all together. It's just a heinous crime, and we stand against this at any time in our country or anywhere around the world. This is a heinous thing.
Absolutely. Our prayers go out to the families, and there were so many people that were injured. I think over 110. The last count I had was that there were over 110. It's just absolutely atrocious that this kind of thing can happen, you know, in this day and time. But hey, these are the times that we live in right now. We really have to be vigilant, you know, and sometimes because we haven't had a real bad incident since 9/11, a lot of times people say, okay, well, maybe we're past that, but we are nowhere near past that. It's just that people are working in so many different arenas to be able to put their damage out there to people, and it's just awful. You know, it's just awful. I was just thinking, though, and my husband was saying, he said, and you tell me what you think about this. He made a statement. He said, oh, so now do we have to have, you know, do we have to have a registration in order to have a pressure cooker in our home, you know, because of all the guns, you know, the fact that people want, you know, the registrations to be what they are and just kind of take away the rights of the people. So, you know, that was an interesting thought.
Well, it's getting to the point where we're seeing so many restrictions on liberty And some people would look at this and say, well, I'm willing to give up a little bit of liberty for security. But that's a really slippery slope. And once we do that, and we have already done that with the Patriot Act and other things, these things have come to pass, and they're considered law, whether they're constitutional or not, and we have given up many liberties. But what I'd like to know is how these perpetrators can get these things passed, all of the checks and balances and things that we're supposed to have. I know nothing is perfect, but, you know, we thought, I guess, that we were vigilant. And then something awful like this happens. And then we wonder, is this going to become a police state where guns and everything else are going to be taken away? And, you know, there is one thing I'd like to say, and I've published a lot on this already today, regarding the aftermath of this absolutely atrocious attack. Already left-wing type, and I don't like to use left and right, but commentators on – let me correct myself – CNN – Esquire, and there was one MSNBC. They've already come out and said, oh, the perpetrators of this were right-wing extremists. And we know that this has been a very big topic on not only on the web, but even on the television lately, and it affects the media greatly. There is a disinformation campaign, which is essentially saying that people who love God and proclaim that, who are from a Judeo-Christian heritage, who may or may not be veterans of the military, many are, some of us are not, who believe in perhaps homeschooling. There are lots of different things. If you quote from Supreme Court cases now, the FBI says that you could be a sovereign citizen, which is all wrapped up into this right-wing extremism. This is a complete disinformation campaign that the Obama regime is running, basically, and putting out there that those of us, and I don't, again, like to use left or right all. I don't like paradigm.
Right.
But those of us who stand for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the individual state constitutions, which through God, basically from God, give us our rights, we are being labeled potential domestic terrorists. And this is not, I am quite sure, now I have no proof of this, but I am quite sure that this is not the type of person who perpetrated this horrible crime in Boston or anywhere else. We are not doing that. Yes, there are the people who do the Oklahoma City bombing. That guy was crazy. We would never condone that. But a writer at Esquire actually said that this guy, Timothy McVeigh, saw himself as being one of the waterers of the Tree of Liberty, making fun of people who are quoting the Constitution. We do not do that. We stand against violence. I don't permit any talk of violence at the Post and Email. Those who threaten and make violent comments are reported to the FBI, for anyone who's listening who happens to do that. And
we are totally
against it.
Well, you know, that's the way it was Breaking News Journal. I told, you know, and I have a columnist in Boston, and I haven't contacted him because I know that the lines were down for a while because they said that it was detonated by cell phone. So I didn't try to reach him to see if he's okay, and I'm going to try to reach him a little later. But the thing that bothers me is that people want to put a label. I mean, it's so quick right now for this label to come out on who did this or who did that or whatever the case may be. I want the thug who did it. I don't care if they're left, right, under the ground, above the ground. I don't care who they are. I want them to pay the consequences for what they did. I mean, blowing off legs and limbs of people and stuff like that where, you know, I mean, these people will never, ever be the same again. Now, whether I were running in a Boston in a marathon or not, it's a whole other ball game. And, you know, these people were doing what they felt they wanted to do, and they were out there having fun, and it was a holiday in Boston. You know, and, you know, it all just came down to some kind of tragic thing that happened to these people. And before they start talking about whether it's left, right, or whoever, they need to be concerned about the people because it's not even barely 24 hours now. They're now talking about that it was one person or the other. Let's find out what the heck happened first before you start labeling people.
Exactly. There was a writer from the Huffington Post, and I actually saw this, and I linked to it in my article, who tweeted out today, oh, well, you know, it was tax day, and there were all these anti-government groups. Now, see, this is a complete – it's such a piece of propaganda to put this out and to continue. Mm-hmm. And we can really see, you and I are in the media and we're watching
mm-hmm.
this. You see Ed Schultz of MSNBC putting it out. You see CNN naming Tea Party, the Tea Party. This is an orchestrated campaign to not only denigrate, but to point a finger at those of us who really revere our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
This is a complete campaign meant to discredit us, to make us look like crazy people. None of us want this. And this is an American tragedy. And anybody who does this, I don't know what is going on in their mind, but they can't have any feeling for fellow human beings who happen to be Americans who were in a day of celebration. The Boston Marathon is run every year. I did a little research on it. It was April 15th this year, but technically Patriots Day is the 19th. And they celebrate this whole Lexington and Concord thing. What could be worse than terrorists, again, of any stripe, any color, any creed, I don't care, setting off these awful explosives and killing children and men and women and on a beautiful spring day.
Wonderful day,
I just cannot imagine anybody doing that. But I will tell you that nobody who reads the Post and Email and nobody who stands for the Constitution would ever, ever condone that.
Mm-mm, absolutely. See, and that's the reason why it's so important with what we're doing. And I'm glad that the Post and Email and Breaking News Journal are teaming up because of the fact that we really have to make sure that people are getting news. I mean, I don't care. You know, news is news. I want people to have the real news, period. Whether it's something I like or not, news is news. And if it happened, it happened. You know, and that's where we have to be because the propaganda machines are everywhere. You know, and it's like, what the heck is going on in our society? And the thing that aggravates me the most is that you got parents and people that are working all day long. When they go to cut on the news and they only have 10 minutes or 15 minutes when they come home from work, to see the news, and they're getting propaganda. They have no idea what's really going on. That's all they can listen to. That's all they know about because that's all that they're hearing. And these guys are taking over the airwaves with that kind of thing, and we cannot allow that to happen. And see, that's what I was going to ask you because I know that there are a lot of blogs out there. How many bloggers would you say are out there? Because I know that the Post and Email started out by its founder as a blogger, and then it turned into a full-fledged news outlet. How many bloggers do you know that are out there in computer land or out there in internet land?
Oh, gee, there are probably thousands. I know every day I find new sites on the web and new bloggers, and some of them are really good. And it's interesting you brought up the thing about the propaganda. I know I did too. But it's true. You read something or you listen to something quickly that comes out of the television, and you think it's the truth. I think what the bloggers have done, especially, is they have tried to get to the truth. Whatever little kernel of truth perhaps was in a broadcast, they try to uncover that. They unpeel that onion layer by layer, and they dig, and they do research that the journalists used to do.
Don't do anymore. Well, they don't even do that anymore.
It's all opinion. And I'm always saying this to the Post and Email, that editorial is not news. Anytime there's your opinion in it, anytime you express an opinion, I even try to avoid using words that might sway or might sort of purport to be opinion. You have to tell the story straight. My feelings about it don't count. It's presenting it to my readers and hopefully, you know, anyone else is able to read and able to say, okay, here's this side, here's that side. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to think this through, and I'm going to do my own research, and I'm going to come to my own conclusions about this. That's what news is supposed to do. It's supposed to provoke thought. And I do think the bloggers have played a very big role in this, and I think they've played a very big role in this whole birth certificate controversy that we talked about last week.
Yeah,
the bloggers have done a tremendous amount of work. People who are not paid to do this, they do their research. They have ways of finding out. They go to libraries sometimes, too, and things. But I think most of what they do is done on the Internet. And there's a tremendous amount of material. If you develop a means by which you can sift through and really weigh things. There are even some blogs that sometimes will have things, and I'll kind of look at it and say, well, let me check this out. And unless I can get it verified, I don't use it. I really try to make sure I verify. And then you have to start making calls. As a news person, you have to start making calls to police departments and whoever might be involved in an investigation. You get to the media person at the FBI or the Pentagon or wherever it is you're trying to get information from. You make sure you go right to the source so that there aren't all these rumors circulating all around. You have to really get a statement from the source.
Right, right. I see exactly what you're saying. Listen, I don't want to really change gears on you, but I did have some of your members on the post an email asked last week about the instrument that you play.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
they wanted you to talk about it, and I said, I said I would definitely have you on back on so that you could talk about the instrument that you play and that you're wonderful. They were just saying all kind of wonderful things about you, so I wanted you to talk a little bit about that before we get into the. I was going to talk to you after that about the meeting that we had with the leaders on Friday and some of the things that are progressing from that.
Okay, sure. Well, very briefly, I can say that I've played this musical instrument for most of my life, and it keeps me very busy. And I'm enjoying doing some teaching with some wonderful students. And, you know, the more you teach, the better you become, actually. you actually become a better player yourself. And just had a nice performance of Mahler's Sixth Symphony, if that means anything to anybody.
Tell us what it means.
And, so I...
Tell us what it means.
Oh, okay. Well, you're saying about the symphony?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, Mahler, most people wouldn't know who Mahler is. Gustav Mahler was a very renowned composer of the late 19th, early 20th century. And he wrote these huge, huge symphonies. And they don't all have harp, but this particular one, number 6, does. And we did a great performance. I thought we actually did two. And the second one that I did, I was very, very sick. It was shortly before you had me on last week, and I was extremely sick. But you know, when someone is counting on you and you're the only person who plays that instrument in the orchestra, you have to be there. It really doesn't matter how sick you are, unless you can send a substitute. I've done that once or twice, but in this case I couldn't because I had done the previous concert. But it's a lot of fun, and I come from a musical family, so that's where that comes from. Now, I will say, a point of interest, when Obama was he was at the University of Hartford, what was that? I forget the date now. It was, I think, early last week. Mm-hmm. He was speaking in the same place where I first started my lessons.
Wow.
So that happens to have been the same location, the University of Hartford. That's where I started studying when I was 8. And another thing, too, that's interesting about my musical studies, this actually isn't a musical point, but my first instructor was from the old Soviet bloc. He was from Hungary, and he escaped.
Oh, really?
Yes, he came over here, and then he used to help other musicians to get away because they were from Poland or Hungary, most usually. And he pulled a lot of strings to get those people out of a communist environment where they could not say what they wanted, they could not do what they wanted, they were like automatons. And that made a big impression on me, that he had helped people to escape from communism and tyranny. That's the biggest thing, tyranny. But something he used to say, and I always remembered this, was because he kind of developed quite a reputation for himself. He didn't really care how many people, he didn't care if people mentioned his name. In fact, he would say, as long as they mention my name, he says, I don't care what people say about me, as long as they mention my name.
Wow.
And then he had this funny little smile. Yeah, and I guess I've always remembered that you know, there are a lot of enemies who would like to see my newspaper shut down, and I know who they are, and I know they're going to be in their own chat rooms making their own little, you know, quips after this. I don't care. They can say whatever they want. They're not going to stop me. We are really going full swing into this birth certificate investigation. It's going to be coming out. And anyone who was complicit in hiding this or obfuscating or ridiculing or you know, provoking, defaming is going to they will be paying the price. But anyway, I always remembered that he had said that. I don't care what people say about me as long as they mention my name. And the people who don't like the posting email who mention me all the time actually have gotten me a lot of readership. So I want to thank you for that.
That you're funny. Listen, you know, did you know that, okay, I don't know if we had come up with, I know it's God, but, I mean, that we are going to launch out on this movie deal to make the movie about Larry Graswell, about Dave Beagle, and about Professor White. These are all three people who had incidents with either the SEIU, and then, of course, Larry is the FBI informant. So he infiltrated the Weather Underground. And then, you know, Robert Redford came out with a movie just 2 weeks ago called The Company You Keep. And so I said, you know what, we need to do a counter movie to Robert Redford's movie. And I talked to Larry and I talked to Dave. Dave is a successful businessman in Indianapolis, and he agrees with the movie deal that we're talking about launching now. So I came up with a title called The Company You Don't Want to Keep. And Larry and Dave went crazy about it. They're like, I like that. And I asked Professor White if he liked it. He said he liked it and stuff like that. So we're looking at doing that so that we can actually get the real truth about who the Weather Underground are, you know, what they did, the bombings, the killings, the things like that that they did that did not show up in Robert Redford's movie. And the fact that, oh, God, I forget this woman's name, and you might know who I'm talking about. She just became a professor at Columbia University, I think, 2 weeks ago, and she was one of the people that bombed one of the trucks that had to do with the Weather Underground. And now she's a professor. I can't remember her name right now. It's not rolling off my tongue right now. But anyway, now she's a professor. So all of these people that have done all kind of dirty stuff in the 60s and 70s now, you know, are now looked at as, you know, as professors and authorities on things that we've got to, you know, we have to expose this kind of thing. So I wanted to let you know that we're, you know, that we're working on that level. And then for those who don't know, Sharon and I and a lot of leaders, and I'm talking about professionals and stuff in media and authors and stuff like that, we were on a conference call last week that had to do with this thing about education called Common Core. And I sent you, Sharon, I think, information on a Cincinnati Fox News station that actually broke down what the Common Core was about and what's going to be happening. So this Friday, when you and I hook up again on the conference call, we're having the heavyweights on. Dave Beagle is going to be on. Larry Graswell said he's going to be on the conference call. And then I just got through meeting with Chuck Woolery's people and stuff, and they want to come on board the Breaking News Journal TV channel and things like that. So we're going to be talking about a whole lot of stuff on Friday, and I just want to kind of update you a little bit on that. And I also wanted to ask you to have all your readers and people really go on Breaking News Journal and click on that red slipper and support our cause so we can have a lot of content, real content, about the real issues that's going on out there. We can't do it without their support.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you said that, because we do need new media. I think you and I are well aware of that, and we need honest media. And, and you're into movies and all kinds of other things, which is great, because a lot of people like to watch movies. They won't watch the news necessarily, but they'll watch a movie. And they need to see things that are presented in such a way that they're true, that they're presenting the truth. This is so very important, and that's very exciting, too, about the conference call coming up. Of course, I enjoyed the first one and took some notes and got some good information, and we've got to put this news out so that people know exactly what it is their children are being taught and not taught.
And not only that, I mean, when you think about the fact that our children – that are in the public schools and stuff like that, that all of our children that are in the public schools that will be used as guinea pigs because their parents can't do any better to get them in private schools. That's the reason why Professor White is just adamant about getting, you know, even if the parents can't afford it on the level of a major private school, he wants to give these public school children a private education in a different kind of environment that does not have
sure.
anything to do with politics or anything like that, but so that they can learn our Constitution by the Frederick Douglass Society and the Constitution and constitutionalists and get math and English. And even parents needing to have that basic education, because without having to deal with politics and the teachers' unions and the SEIU and people who are strong-arming people and people who are embezzling money, the people have no idea what their taxes are being used for and going for.
Well, that's exactly it. And what they're finding, and in fact, I have a contributing writer who said this, what he's finding, the people in his neighborhood, their kids, they are showing him what they're learning, and it's absolutely outrageous. It's all this politically correct, watered-down information. It's not U.S. history, really. It's sort of revisionist U.S. history. And they're also being taught basically, well, you know, you got to kind of give up some liberty to be safe, and you'll give up some constitutional rights to keep yourself safe. It's just ridiculous stuff. And then the social justice and all of these other topics that are being covered, bullying. I mean, when you and I went to school, it wasn't called bullying. It was called somebody was basically out of line, and you said stop it, and if they didn't, then the teacher would intervene, and, you know, whoever was the perpetrator would go in the corner or go to the principal's office.
Yeah, because
now
you're absolutely right, Sharon, because look, and you know this, if you go and tell on somebody, you're going to have a bigger fight than you would have had normally. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I always tell my children, it's like, when my children were growing up, I said, there are going to be people that are going to find all kinds of reasons to want to start a fight with you. I said, once you kick their butt, then we'll come back and mess with you again. And usually that's really the only answer, because the teachers aren't going to be with you during the time that you're in school. But I think, you know, and a lot of parents don't agree with that, but I agree with, you know, if you protect yourself, and if you fight someone that starts a fight with you, and you let them know you're not going to be bullied, they usually leave you alone, you know.
And
it's a hard thing to.
This is exactly right. We used to be able to defend ourselves without using fists or sticks or stones. I mean, I remember in my family, we were taught you basically use your mouth. You say, don't do that. I don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that once or twice. And then after that, you walk away, or you deal with it in
mm-hmm.
such a way that it was never called bullying. It was just that somebody was being obnoxious, basically. But you could stand up to them. And kids used to do this on the playground all the time. They would handle their own problems, and there wouldn't be all of these socially engineered programs to prevent bullying and to prevent this and to prevent that. And then to provide things to children in the public schools that they don't need to hear or know about for many years to come.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Look, I think we have a caller. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Okay. Hello, caller. 354.
Hello, this is Sharon.
How are you? Did Sharon. Sharon, a call
it's
for
Sharon.
You.
Sharon, how are you? This is Elmo.
Oh, hi. How are you, Elmo?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I moved to Arizona now, but I'm still following you, and I will send you another check in September, as I usually do, and support your good work.
Oh, don't worry
work.
About it. I know you're paid up. I didn't know you moved to Arizona. How do you like it out there?
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful place. So.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. So I'll continue to, support your great work. And I just wanted to tell you, you know, how much I admire what you're doing what all of you are doing, all of you, you know.
Thank
you. Well, that's right. It's all of us who really want to see this country return to greatness, and it
can be. God bless you all. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, Elmo.
Okay, you take care now.
You too.
That was sweet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a very, very nice man. I know who he is. Mm-hmm. And, well, I wish him the best in Arizona. I'd like to go there, too, sometimes.
Well, I think you keep hanging around with me, and you'll be doing a lot of that. Listen, Sharon, as we get ready to wind down the program, I would like for you to give information on the post and email, how people can reach you and get involved.
Okay, sure. Well, it is a subscription and a subscription paper, but we have two levels. One level is non-paying, which means you just sign up. Basically, we just want to know what we want to know your sign-in username and that kind of thing. Not that we look at that, but we just need to have you registered. And then the other level is to be able to read everything we've written from day one, which was back in August of 2009, and that is a paid level. We don't ask a lot. There are different levels. And people can sign up at whatever level they want, if they want news alerts or they don't or whatever, or if they want to be able to reproduce our work, that's sort of another level. But we keep it very, very reasonable. It's basically keeping us online, but it is helping us to grow, too. That's why I'm able to spend more time at mm-hmm. this. It's been a tremendous platform, actually. And we do support, obviously, our other partners, Breaking News Journal, and other people who are working hard to reestablish constitutional governance. We're following the cold case posse very closely. Most people know that, and reporting on that. I do have an inside track as to what they're doing. We really want to see the rule of law. We want to see the return to a constitutional republic, and that's what the Post Mail is all about. It's all about constitutional issues and violations of the Constitution, exposing them so that the people can then decide what's the best way to resolve this and to fix it peacefully.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the website is
thepostemail.com.
Yes.
Yeah, there can't be an and because it doesn't fit in the URL. But
absolutely,
it's, yeah,
absolutely. I looked at it. I was like, I want to put that and in there, but I know it doesn't go in there. And I was like, okay, thepostemail.com. So, you know, I check on thepostemail.com and as much as I check on breakingnewsjournal.net now. So it's like, and that's good because, you know, we do different things. You know, we do different things, and we have, you know, I have that the RSS feed coming through from the newsroom and everything. But and I want people to be able to look at the news and click on it, and then not only that, but be able to make their own decisions about what they're seeing, and then we have a discussion about it.
Sure. And that's a great way to get news to people almost the moment it's happening, because I've been on your feed, too, and I've read it and seen it coming through. It's like, this is great. You can see exactly what's going on the Senate floor or the House floor as it's happening. That's wonderful.
Yes. And then, you know, so that's what we're doing. You know, and then it's not always about politics. It could be about any kind of breaking news, just like what happened happened in Boston, you know, and stuff like that. And that, you know, we want to make sure that we're supporting people all over so that we can get all kinds of people on to watch the news and stuff like that. That way they'll learn what's going on the Post and email and other places.
Absolutely, and there's so much news. It's almost too much, but there's
it really is. Isn't it? Sometimes I'm like, good Lord, if you had to try to figure out everything that's going on, you would never get anything done.
I know. You could just stick it that you could stay with your computer all day and never, ever be done because there's always something going on. But the people need to know what their government is doing. That's the biggest thing with the Post and email. They need to know what their government is doing at all levels. And in a lot of cases, it's not constitutional.
Right. Well, see, that's one of the things that I like about the Post and the email is because, you know, even if you're talking about watching or being a watchdog for our government, there are so many different things that you cover, whereas a blogger would pretty much stay focused on one particular topic or whatever the case may be, and you're looking overall at what's going on overall, and you're alerting everybody as to what's really happening, you know, the things that are really concerning us, and that's mightily important. So Sharon,
I had thought about that. But you're right; that's a big distinction between a newspaper and a blog. A blogger kind of writes about what they want to write, and it could be just a long sort of expose mm-hmm. from day to day. Whereas mm-hmm. breaking news, it doesn't matter if you personally are interested in the topic. If it's important, you must report it so that the people
mm-hmm.
know.
Absolutely. That's the way you do it. And, you know, I even have my columnist. It's like I don't want everybody talking about the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like I you know, it's like talk about whatever you want to talk about and everything and whatever is concerning you, what's happening in your area or whatever the case may be, and that's good. And if you want to bring in the politics of it or what's going on with your Senate and stuff, that's all fine and good. But you don't want 100 people talking about the same exact thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I do try to report on things that others are not reporting on. That's one thing I forgot to say, but I think that's important that with a post and email from what I do, that I can bring stories to people of corruption and things like that, especially
yes.
this judicial
yes.
corruption I've spoken about,
yes.
that is not normally going to be on the evening news. In fact, we know it won't be there, so I want to make sure I present it.
I heard that, and you do an excellent job, and I love going on there. I love the way your site moves. It is absolutely out of sight. So everybody go to thepostandemail.com and see what Sharon is doing. She's doing an excellent job. I want to thank you so much for being on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Moose, and I know we'll talk again on Friday and
we
hopefully
will.
Many other times in the future.
we definitely will. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Thanks again. Okay, bye-bye.
Come rain, come shine, I meet you and to me the world is fine. Then I kiss your lips and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar. When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed to tell you that you're marvelous, tell you that you're wonderful again, 'cause I've got you under my skin, and I love you under my skin.